But I'm telling you, if there's ever a time that you need to do the right thing because it's the right thing, it's now. Not out of fear, but out of obedience to the Word of God. And I think in particular, there's three areas that you're going to see come to the forefront. And the first one is, the love walk is going to have a great deal to do with it. It's going to have a great deal to do with it. You know, ever since I've been a Christian, I'll go in church services, and when I'm in Pentecostal charismatic services, many times there's a message of the Holy Spirit going forth to that body of people. You need to forgive. You need to let that go. You need to get over that. You need to move on. And you know what? And the same old people, you know, we'll get teary-eyed. We'll feel that tug at the heart, and then they walk out the door and they don't do anything about it. And some of them haven't talked to their own brother for 50 years, and they haven't talked to their own sister for 50 years, nor have they done anything to try to make it right. You know, sometimes the other person won't receive it, but have you even tried to make it right? I'm telling you, that is going to be very important in receiving from God, because we can be charismatic, spirit-filled, word of faith Christians acting like that, you know, everything's great and we got everything going on and we're so full of the Word. But if you're not obedient to that simple word, the simplest of what God's called us to do, the most important of anything that God has called us to do is to love. And a part of that is to walk in forgiveness and not be offended and to be able to move along and do what God's called us to do. If not, you're not where God wants you to be. You're being held back. You're dragging that big old anchor behind you down the road. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life and move on. Deal with it head on today. Call them. Go see them. They may not receive it, but that's okay. You've done, you know, maybe God honors it. But, you know, God's not going to make the other person do what they're supposed to do. We're creatures of choice. They may still be as hard as they were when it happened. Get it right with you. And you can say, well, you know what? They need to come to me. I didn't do it. They did. Well, Jesus came to you. You didn't go running after God. He came to you. So if you want to look at the method and you want to look at the example, watch Jesus. Jesus came to you. We need to go to them. Particularly, if we're going to walk in love and set the example, we need to be the one to do it. So love is going to be a big, important part of it. Another thing that's going to be a big, important part of it, just listen to your pastor. I don't think we're over this economic mess. And I'm going to tell you that you need to do, listen, God's going to take care of us. I'm not talking about that. But I'm telling you, you need to do everything you can do to become debt-free in your life, where you're not dependent on the government and you're not dependent on that job that you had years ago where you're supposed to have all that retirement that ain't there. By the way, Medicare program, all these baby boomers you just turned, I think they said $700 trillion behind to pay for the baby boomers that are coming of age. That's how far in the hole they are over for Medicare recipients. And you know what? A first-term president can't touch Medicare. They won't get reelected because somebody ain't going to like it. But somebody's going to have to touch the program, all right? But I'm telling you, do everything in your power to become debt-free, where you don't have to rely on the world system and you can rely on God's system to go forth. Those are the things that God has been speaking to me particularly about for this next year. And it just keeps going over and over and over in my spirit about doing the right thing, because it's the right thing to do. And if we won't, God will find somebody who will. Right? And you know, you can't do that and not walk in love. We got to love people. Got to love them enough to tell them that we love them. We got to love them enough to tell them about God. We got to love them enough not to judge them and to be able to see through all that hard stuff on the outside and see who they can be in Jesus. And sometimes we just kind of get in such a hurry to do the things that we're doing, making our own plans, doing our own thing, than to take the time to be sensitive to the voice of God and just show a little love. And I've been guilty. I think I've admitted to you before, years ago, I was in a hurry, running late for lunch. I go up to a gas station, guys going around asking everybody if they got jumper cables, and I go, no, man, I don't have any jumper cables. I knew I had jumper cables. I didn't have time. I should have said, well, yeah, I got them, but I don't have time. But I didn't. I go, no, man, tried to just smooth it over without telling a lie, but I was really deceiving and telling a lie. Beat me. It was a lie, my wife said. hey, but I repented right there. And I went over and I go, man, I had some cables in the trunk. But the Lord checked my spirit. We can't not listen to that voice. Now listen, I'm not saying you stop and throw money out to every one of these guys standing on the corner. If y'all don't know it, they make more money than you do just standing on the corner. The Bible says we're supposed to establish that they have a need before you go meeting a need. How do you know? I've watched too many of them walk around back and buy the case of beer and drink while the other one stood out there. You know, if they're hungry, I'll feed them. But, you know, never, and they'll talk to you about God and all that. But how about, I was young and now I'm old, and never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. So if they want to tell me about how tight them and God are, I have a problem with that, because that doesn't line up with the book. Establish the need. Have a sensitive heart. I'm going to tell you, I've done it. They'll say, I'm hungry. I go, man, stay right here. And I go into the restaurant, order them a big spread, come back out, and they're gone, because they wanted crack money. They wanted alcohol money. Then I've gone, me and Kim were at Sam's one day, and I went in. Man, I bought all this mess out. I was carrying it out in a big old cardboard box. And the guy sat on he goes, I'm just telling you, I'm hungry, man. And he sat right there on the curb beside my truck. And I mean, he didn't let a little piece of onion go by. He ate the whole thing. Now see, I'm going to feed them. I'm going to minister to them. I'm going to tell them about the Lord. I'm going to take care of them, but I'm not supporting habits. We need to establish the need before you go through. See, sometimes we go, well, if I just throw a little money, you know, then I don't have to spend any time. That's what I'm talking about. God gave you that money so that you could be a steward over it. And if you're going to sow it, then you sow it and you tell them. I'm able to sow this because you know what? I hadn't always been where I'm at today, but God's blessed me. And because of that, I'm able to bless you. And let me tell you a story. And you share God with them. Amen. I'm telling you, it's going to be very important this next year. And I want that to ring in your spirit over and over and over. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to have those feelings in your life towards somebody. It robs you of what God has for you. It gives that person and the enemy all the power in the relationship, and it's holding you back. We can't live like that. And you can't be effective, overcoming, victorious for God when you live that way. You've got to get rid of it. And look, I don't know anything about anybody as far as that mess goes. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in people's families. All I know is, I'm telling you, I felt it so strong that mess cannot go on. And if you've just tried to help, sometimes we just try to help. And have you ever learned that some of them people are acting like they don't want our help? Okay, well, guess what? They probably ain't going to receive it from us. So back off and say, you know what? I ain't quit believing, but I'm backing off. And you start praying that God sends somebody else that maybe they will listen to. And God will send them somebody. And you just continue to pray and continue to believe for your family and your friends. But, you know, don't let it get to the point where it's antagonistic and there's hurt feelings, because all you're trying to do is help them. And you know what? I've tried to get them in a headlock and get them saved. They just won't do it. You know, and if I do, it don't last long. They cuss me as soon as I let go. I've had them do it now. I go, you're going to get saved, you rascal. That's a story I just made up, and it's not a lie. I have to clarify for my wife, because she helps me. I've been talking to you for the last several weeks about praise and worship. And I started last week on worship, gave you some Hebrew words for worship. We've learned that praise are normally expressed with loud words and loud tones, even though you can praise God quietly. Generally speaking, worship is done quietly, low tones. We also learned last week, when we were learning about the Hebrew words and Greek words for worship, that it could be with music, but worship doesn't it's not about music, and it's not about songs. You can worship God with music and songs, but it's not about that. Worship is a heart thing. Worship is a heart attitude. Worship can be done anywhere, anytime. And it can be done with music, but it doesn't have to be done with music. Our giving, which we're going to learn later, is an act of worship. Our giving is as much an act of worship as any other act of worship that we do. We can worship God laying in the bed when we go to bed at night. We can worship God laying there. Now see, praise you have to show forth. You have to do something. Worship we can do in our heart. So you can't say, I praise God in my heart. No, if you show forth the praises, but you can worship in your heart. You can worship in your heart because it's about relationship. You can worship without a word being said. It's getting my eyes on God and fixing my eyes on God. And as long as my heart, my spiritual eyes are set on God, I'm in worship. But you can't worship God if you're not. Because you're not worshiping because a certain song touched your heart. A certain song can touch your heart and urge you towards worship. But real worship is when you don't even know that anybody else is living. You're tuned in on the Father. You're tuned in on Jesus. And you don't care what's around you. You don't care what anybody thinks. Your sole focus is Him. That's the way worship is. And fixing our eyes. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not something that we just do when we come in on Wednesday nights. It's not something that we do when we come in on Sunday mornings. It's not something we can worship when we come here together. But it's not just reserved for that. We should be worshiping all the time. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life for us. I want to take you to a scripture, John chapter 4. And just for a few minutes this morning, I want to touch on this particular subject. Go to verse 20. This particular scripture is Jesus going to the woman at the well. And he's just read her mail, so to speak. And the woman in verse 19 was pretty perceptive. She said, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know, after somebody reads your mail and don't know anything about you, you can perceive that they're a prophet. Amen. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is. When true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called the Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And he goes on to tell her, that's me. So here, he's telling the woman that there's a time that's coming where God is looking for true worshipers, and those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. And here's something that I want you to notice. God doesn't have to have your worship. He's looking for true worshipers, is what he's looking for. He's looking for people. You know, in other words, when I pray, God didn't need me to pray. I needed to pray. God didn't need me to worship. I needed to worship. He's looking for true worshipers, those that will worship in spirit and in truth. And it shouldn't have to be spiritual calisthenics. It should be that we have such a lifestyle of worship that when we come in, it just happens. Nobody should have to urge me to say, get your hands in the air. We've already read praise words, Hebrew words, Greek words. Every time you read about praise and worship, you see that some do it with uplifted hands. Hands. One word used is to just fling your hands into the air like a sign of surrender. Nobody, that stuff that once you've touched the heart of God and once God's touched your heart, that stuff that should just come out. And you can say, well, I don't know what it is. I'm more of a private person. I don't care if you're private or not. You can't be that private. You know, women, I've been in there when women are having babies, and they can say, well, you know, I don't want to make a lot of noise when I go in there. Well, I ain't been in there yet that they wasn't making noise, and quite a bit of it. You can hear them out the street if they didn't have soundproof rooms. Did it matter that you didn't want to make noise when you went in there? No, you was going to make noise. I mean, that's the way it should be when we've got the Spirit of God birthed on the inside of us. It's just wanting to burst forth and to come out, and it just comes out of our mouth, and our hands will do things, and we'll feel like we want to get on our knees, and we'll feel like we want to lay down on the ground. And, you know, hey, you may want to feel like you want to run, that you just want to get up and walk. You may just, you know, but whatever it is, you don't hold that back because of what people might think. You let it forth because you're expressing yourself to an almighty God. Now, listen. There are people that are more private or whatever, but it doesn't matter how private you are, you're supposed to worship. It doesn't matter how private you are. And I've noticed some of those that have told me that they're real private, when the Spirit of God really hits them and gets on them, I've noticed that it looks like they've been housing some of that stuff for a long time. They just need to let that stuff come on out. You can't believe what a release that you have in your spirit and in your life when you just feel free enough to let it go. And you know, then it boils down to a matter of trust. That you just trust God with yourself to the point that you can give all of yourself to Him. That's what worship's all about. I just trust Him enough that, you know what, I don't care what anything else that is going on around me. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I just trust Him with my heart and with my life to the point that I don't care. I'm just going to worship. And can't anybody stop me? People can't stop you from worshiping at work. People can't stop you from worshiping in your car and in your house. And they can't stop you from doing that. Can't anybody keep you from worship? Worship is something that we just make a decision to do. A lifestyle of worship. Lives lived in an attitude of worship in all that we do. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this in the New International Version. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. It says, you have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. But I want you to notice, He said He will strengthen the hearts of those that were fully committed to Him. Now notice what I talked to you about earlier, about what I see happening in this next year. Because if we've decided we're going to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, that means we're fully committed to Him. And He's promised us that He will strengthen our hearts so that we can worship Him in the way that He wants us to worship Him. I got to tell you, there wouldn't be a bunch of church fights if people were worshiping like they ought to worship. There wouldn't be a bunch of people in the church trying to tell everybody else in the church what they ought to do if they were doing a little bit more worship. You know, you wouldn't care what their hair looked like. You wouldn't care what clothes they wore. You wouldn't care that they weren't like you. What you would know is they're just people. People's people. God loves people. If God loves people, you ought to love people. And if we were in a little bit more of a attitude of worship, a bunch of that petty junk that church people get caught up in wouldn't be happening. The Bible tells us that we're to worship in spirit and in truth. Do you know that you can't worship in spirit and in truth if the soul man and the mind is not involved? Your soul man and your mind has to be involved because you're thinking about the good things of God. You're thinking about what God's done for you, what God's doing for you. You're thinking about the promises that just because I'm going through a little something-something right now don't mean that God can't take care of it. As a matter of fact, He's given me His Word. And because I trust His Word, I'm not going to get all uptight. She was talking about worry this morning, Miss Pat. I'm not going to live my life in worry. I'm not going to live my life in fear. I'm not going to live my, life like all of that. I'm just going to do what I know that God's told me to do, and God's going to do what He said He's going to do, and I'm not going to get all fired up. I'm not going to be all worried. I'm just going to do what I know God wants me to do because that's what His Word said for me to do. Hey, how do you worship if your mind ain't involved? Your mind's got to be involved. You got to get it lining up with what's going on in the spirit. It's very important that we do that. And that it all lines up with God's Word. Our hearts have to be true to God. They have to be pure. You know, it's amazing to me that people go through life thinking... I think that they've fooled so many people for so long that they've actually fooled themselves. I mean, I know that that's true because when I wasn't living for God, I would tell things that weren't true and I would tell them so often that they literally became a part of my life. Like I had begun to believe my own lies. I know that's true. So there's some people that have tried to fool themselves into thinking that they're not really that way or they're not really doing that thing. And they've not listened to God so much to the point where they've fooled themselves into thinking they're okay because, you know, hey, at least the other stuff that they're doing is right, like doing part of what God says is okay. And then some people go, well, you know I'm okay. And I know I'm okay because, you know, I help little old ladies across the street when the traffic's busy. Well, that's nice. But, you know, the Scripture addresses a lot of different issues. How do I treat everybody every day? How do we treat one another? How do we live our lives? How do we conduct ourselves? Are we conducting ourselves in a godly way? And just because we helped a little old lady across the street don't mean that we can live however we want to anywhere else. And they go, people will say, I just don't believe that God will send good people to hell. No, God didn't want anybody to go to hell. He sent His Son that everybody who would receive Him, so nobody would have to go to hell. That's not His desire. He wants everybody to be united with Him. But there are some people that will fool themselves into thinking, hey, I'm okay, you're okay. As far as everybody knows, I'm okay. I've got a little skeletons in the closet, but you know, the good that I do overrides the rest of it. No, it don't. He who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. You know, you can't do part of what God wants you to do and think everything's going to be all right. Can't do part of the right thing, or half the right thing, or some of the right thing. You got to do all of the right thing because it's the right thing. And how you conduct your business and how you conduct your personal life. You know, there's lots of things if we sat back and thought about before we did it. What would God think of this? What's the Word of God say about this, which is how we should be doing everything? We'd be a whole lot more careful about how we were conducting our personal business and our other business. Right? We want it to line up with what the book says. We want it to line up with what the Word of God says. We can't be hypocritical about it. Look at 1 Samuel 15. And go to verse 24. And by the way, if you want to know the scripture where the Lord was talking to me about doing the right thing, go to 2 Samuel 6 and read the story. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may... it moved on me. Where am I at? Oh, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, turn again that I may worship the Lord. And it did it again. And Samuel said unto Saul, will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned to go away, he laid a hold of the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to the neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of the people. He's all concerned what the people think. He's not concerned that he didn't do what God said. He's more concerned about what will the people think if you don't bless me while you're here. It says, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. So we can't be hypocritical. The motivation in this story wasn't right. It wasn't to show how, worshiping God's not to show how spiritual we are. And it's not to put on a spiritual front. It's not to be fake about our worship. We're supposed to worship God because of how much we love Him, because of what He's done in our lives. We want to worship God because of the goodness of God. The worship, true worship, literally, like, looks into heaven and opens ourselves up for the presence of the Holy Spirit to just move in and through us during those times of worship. And it's not enough just to worship in sincerity. That's great, but you got to worship in truth. The revealed Word of God, as God has revealed it to you, that's the purpose for the worship. The purpose for the worship is based on what we know and what's been revealed to us by the Word, the goodness of God, the great things that God has done, just moves us to worship. Not just with you know, form and formality, that that's what you do. You sing, you know, four songs and then hold the offering and then have the preaching and all that. That's all fine. And there is, God is an orderly God and there's good to order. But if God wants to come in and mess you up, you let God come in and mess you up. You know, you don't just have an order to have an order so you can say how orderly you are. God can mess up anything he wants to with me and in a service. If God wants to change it around, and one of the reasons why we do the preaching before we would do ministering at the end is because the Bible says that signs and wonders and miracles follow the preaching. So I think it's important that you have the preaching. But it doesn't necessarily have to be in a certain order. You know, some churches you go to, they have their way. They're prescribed by the denomination, and this is how you do it, and this is the form. They even send them the sermons and the subject they're supposed to preach on that Sunday. And they send them two or three sample sermons in case you don't have any good information on that. It's called a lectionary. And in case you don't have any good word on that, here's three or four good sermons that you might use as a sample. My Lord, you could even preach one of them. But you know, the way I read the book is a man or woman of God ought to pray, touch the heart of God, let God touch their heart, and then that person share the word so God can touch your heart. That's the way I read it ought to happen. If they sent me a lectionary, I don't even know what I'd do with it. I don't look at that stuff. I've prepared a sermon all week long and went out walking to pray that morning, and the Lord gave me something different right there. I go, but Lord, I like that one. That was good. I'm comfortable with that one. I know that one because I've been studying it all week. I'm going to be good at that one. He goes, that's not what I got for you. And sometimes I'll even be thinking all the way to the pulpit that I'm going to be preaching that other one, and the Lord won't let me. And sometimes I'm just going to start with a scripture, and then he does the rest of it. You know, it's okay to prepare, but why are we doing it anyhow? We're doing it anyhow because we're supposed to be doing it. And because we're supposed to be touching the heart of God so that God can touch the heart of the people, and then we're going to go tell God what we think is going to touch people's hearts. I'm not going to tell him that. God can do whatever he wants to. And if he wants to change what I've got in my heart and my spirit and what I've studied, and he wants something else, then let him do something else. Because whatever he's got is going to be better than what I thought was great. Because obviously, he knows who's going to be there. He knows when they're going to be there. He knows what he's trying to get to people, what people came needing, what they need, how they need it, what they need to receive. We're not supposed to know stuff about people and preach at people. You don't preach at people. What you do is you prepare your heart and share what God's put on your heart with people, and you don't preach at people because you know something about somebody. That is the wrong way to preach. God knows what people need. And if God's going to reprimand his people, he'll reprimand them with the word. He don't need me to do it. The word of God ought to be enough. Right? Our worship is no higher than our knowledge of God. And worship flows out of our relationship with God. That's where worship comes from, the relationship. And our relationship becomes stronger as we lean on the word, and as we lean on the word and on him and what he said in his word. True worshipers, opposite of fake and false worshipers, were to worship in spirit, opposite of going to a certain place necessarily. In truth means that I'm not legalistic and I'm not going through ritual and ceremony and all of that, right? In truth means that whatever his word says. How many times you've been to church and they do a bunch of stuff or say a bunch of stuff in church that don't even line up with what the word says? So I come from a denomination where when you went to college at their denominational school, women couldn't wear a dress. Women had to wear dresses till 5 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, God took a nap and they could wear pants. I know the whole thing about, well, you know, women shouldn't be dressing like the men and men shouldn't be dressing like the women. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the tunics and the robes and stuff that the men wore back then, but they looked a lot like a dress. People get caught up in mess. You know, I remember if a woman come into church with short hair, that was a Jezebel for sure. If she had any makeup on, she was a Jezebel for sure. If she was wearing anything other than a wedding band, hey, whoop her bad and send her on out the door. How dare her? Well, I don't see that in the book. I think what I see in the book is we do everything we can do. We give our best to God. That means I'm going to look my best. I'm going to express myself as the person that God made me to be, right? I'm not going to express myself the way other people do. You know, I got a guy that works for me. He's like Mr. GQ. He's got $400 shoes, and he's got, and he'll come in and he's dressed to the T. He goes and has his eyebrows threaded, you know, so he's looking good. The girl he's dating says, I have to be careful because I don't want to go somewhere and him be prettier than me. When it's been cold, he's got his Argyle sweaters on, you know. And one girl down there, I got redneck Polk County girls working down there. And one of them Polk County girls said to him, I got a pink Argyle just like that at Walmart last week. He goes, come on, man, give me a break, man. But you know what? He dresses real sharp and he looks really nice and all that. But that's his style. See, I got a different style. My style's called comfortable. There's something to be said about comfortable. All right? I love comfortable. But, you know, there's some people that they're all about that look and that persona. You know, Smith Wigglesworth would look at himself in the mirror. He would wake up and put his best suit of clothes on every day when he woke up. And he would look into the mirror and he said, the man of God in this mirror is a man of God who's given his best to God. And he said, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll preach anything you want me to preach, but I'm not going to dress like a pauper. He goes, I'm going to go out there representing the God that takes care of his children. And you know what? God took care of Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth was sharing that word of God with people and stuff like that. But you know what? He was going to put his very best on. He was going to give his very best. That's fine. But you know what? Everybody's different. What somebody's best may not be somebody else's best. What you like may not be what somebody else likes. You know, don't be faking and trying to be like some little somebody else. You be who it is that God's called you to be with your style. But you know what? Just do it genuinely from your heart and don't try to put on any airs towards God. God knows what's really in your heart. He sees through all the airs that people put on. And he's not interested in that. He's interested in genuine. That you are who you are. That you've got a heart to be the best you can be for him. And you know what? Being the best for him may not mean that you do it the way anybody else does it. I remember, who was it? Finney? Charles Finney's the first one who really started having large meetings outside of the church. You would either have tent meetings, revival back in those days, or you would have meetings in the church. But he would start going to a big convention hall, and he would have services there. Well, let me tell you something. Evangelicals all across the country was giving him a hard time. How dare he go into a building that wasn't godly and start having church services? That should be in church. It's okay to be in a tent, but that should be in church or in the tent. Don't go into a nice building. But let me tell you something. Views begin to change when he was such a man of prayer that as he would walk down the aisle, people in the chairs would fall out in the spirit in the chairs. Hey, they just fall out all over the place. Because of the power of God that was operating on his life. Then people began to forget that it doesn't matter where. You can worship God anywhere. It's not about a building. It's about your heart. It's the way it should be for us. You know, All them people's over there running their mouth like that, and Charles Finney's praying. We're going to fill this thing up. People's going to get touched and ministered to. They're going to get saved, healed, filled. And he'd walk, just the presence of God as he walked down the aisles, they'd go, just going out all over the building. You think he cared about people running their mouths? Whether they thought that was God or not? You know? And that's the attitude we have to have. We have to get a word from God and do what God wants us to do. We need to worship God genuinely from our heart. I'm going to give you one more scripture, and I'll close this morning. Look with me, if you would, to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, and go to verse 8. Are you there? This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Let me tell you, there was a time, particularly when our kids were smaller, and before I had enough revelation on it to figure it out, that, man, Sunday mornings, if my wife and I were going to have a fight, it was going to be Sunday morning on the way to church. And that wasn't good. Because my wife, she ain't good at faking. So if she's mad, everybody's going to know she's mad. She can't put on some face like she ain't mad. If she's mad, everybody's going to know she's mad. Now, see, I can ignore people and smile and just move right on. Kim can't. Huh? No, I don't be fake. I'm ignoring. See, look. And I'm good at that. I can ignore. I can tune it out. I can just move right on. Not, hey, water off the duck's back. Just let it slide and move right on. Right? But it seemed like if the enemy was going to attack, it was going to be on Sunday morning, right before you went to church. Nothing went right, you know. They put on clothes and it had a hole in it. And we didn't wake up in time. And now we ain't getting breakfast. And we're eating breakfast on the way there. And the kids are fighting. And, you know, if we're going to get an attack, it was right then. But then we figured it out. Look what the enemy's trying to do. So guess what? We began to pray and thank the Lord and speak the word over our family, that we thank you that tomorrow is going to be a good day, that we're not going to allow the enemy to get that foothold, and we thank you, Lord, that things are going to run smooth tomorrow. We're going to enjoy our day in the Lord, and we didn't know we were taking authority over it at the time, but we were really beginning to take authority over it because we knew it didn't have to be that way. And guess what? We started doing some of the clothes stuff at night. And we started doing whatever stuff could be prepared at night and deciding what we were going to do at night the night before. And then it got to where we'd go to church and just be able to enjoy ourselves when we get to church. You know, we got to know when to be able to do that, you know. And, you know, so here you are, you come to church, you've just had the blowout of all blowouts on the way to church. And then the person's up there, you know, and they're leading worship. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise it up there. And Kim's going. And everybody's going, what's wrong with her? She must have fought with Butch's. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, our heart ain't in it, but we're trying to get it into us. You know. And I'm up on stage. No, with my eyes closed, so I can't see that look on her face. Praise name. She's down there, Lord, hallelujah. And then we get into worship, and it's like we don't want to worship. We don't feel like worshiping, but that's what we ought to do, because that's what you do, whether your heart's right or not, right? Right? That's just what you do. And, you know, well, I had a late night and I'm tired and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then so, Dougie, you need to head them off outside before they come in. And so, you know, we just put an air on that, you know, that everything's fine and all that. Here, you should say, oh, well, we should just come in and let all that out. No, what I'm telling you is we need to take care of that before we came in. You can sit in the car and begin to worship. You can sit in the car and begin to praise a little bit. You can get all that right before you come in and say, Lord, before I even go in there, I want to make sure that I get my heart right. I want to make sure that when I go in there, I can worship with a pure heart and a clean heart. And I really want to be able to honor. And, you know, you can say, well, that's not that easy to do. Oh, yeah, it is. Get it right. Get it under the blood. Take control over it. Take authority over it. Let the Lord take care of it. And then go in where you can give of yourself. Right? We can do that. And we should be able to do that. Worship is that deep thing that's on the inside of us calling on the deep things of God. And worship requires relationship, intimacy, giving and receiving. Open your heart to God and worship Him and don't rush through it. And once again, it involves our spiritual eye contact, where our spiritual eyes are on the heart of God, and everything within us is to just reach and touch and minister to Him because of what it is that He's done for us. Amen? Amen. That's what worship should be all about. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Well, I know you hear those air conditioners running, but that ain't air. I don't know what that is. Except a fan, maybe. But y'all look like the blood's coming back into your body now, and I'm going to start giving out Geritol at the door so people can get iron in their blood. Hallelujah. Revelation. Well, you know, God's good. God's a good God who wants to do us good. And you know, if we realize that, and if we realize that when things aren't going like they ought to, say, God, I don't understand why things aren't going like they ought to. Reveal to me what's going on. And you know He will. He really will. Sometimes we don't like it, what He tells us, but He really will. Amen. Father, today we thank You for this time that we've spent together. We thank You for Your word. We came in and You inhabited our praises, and then we went into worship and plowed up the soil of our hearts to receive the seed of the Word of God. So I know for a fact that we won't leave here the way we came in Jesus' name, because Your Word touches and changes our lives so that we're never the same. Father, I thank You for this emphasis of what You've been showing us about praise and worship and what it's really all about and what should be happening when we do that. And Father, help us, every one of us, to be men and women who understand what worship and praise is all about. Father God, that's literally a fabric of our lifestyle. Father God, that we can anywhere, anything that we're doing, just sit down and tune in to You and get our eyes on You. And Father, begin to worship out of our spirit man. And Father, I thank You for that. I thank You for people that came in here today needing a word. I know this. I'm comfortable that everybody that came in here looking for a word got an answer. They got a word from You about what's going on in their lives. Father, I know that You've spoken individually to different people's hearts about different areas of their lives, about what it is that You desire in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, I thank You that when we walk out of this place, we walk in obedience. We do what You tell us to do. We're going to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And Father, we're going to be obedient to Your word and do what You've told us to do. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if somebody's in here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you'd like to pray that prayer today and come to God, I'd love to pray for you. If you're here and you slip your hand up, I'd love to pray for you. Well, thank you. Father, I just also thank you, Father, that everybody that was in here, as we came in today and we partook of communion, we made the confessions of our faith, that people were touched in their hearts and in their lives. Father, no sickness is allowed to dwell in those temples today, Father God. And we have sealed that with communion. We call that thing done by the stripes Jesus took to his back. We are healed. People that came here needing answers, whether it's job related or kid related or whatever. Father God, we know that the blood that Jesus shed on the cross is sufficient for every area of our life. It covers every area. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when we call out to you, you give us the answers that we need. So, Father, I thank you that every need was met here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.